Yes, indeed. Good to have you along with us here on this Friday night as we inch closer and closer to baseball's regular season. The Giants will kick it off 2 weeks from today. In the meantime, well, they're playing spring ball, and our man Marty Lurie is on the scene taking it all in and there to give us the expert insight and analysis. Marty, good to have you on the show as always, and we may as well start there. I know you gave him a look today. What jumped out at you from the first Anthony DeSclafani start of the spring today?
Well, first of all, it was a beautiful day for baseball. We got into the 90s today, believe it or not. So that's what Arizona baseball is this time of year. And the Giants were ready to play today. DeSclafani went out there, touched 94, 95, sitting behind home plate and looked really very effective. Cleveland, you know, when you look at their lineup, there aren't many names you know, believe me. So the Giants jumped out to a nice 2-0 lead. Yastrzemski hit a two-run homer. He looked like he was ready to play today. I say that to you. When I looked at him before the game, he just had that game face on, the Yastrzemski game face. And I said, boy, he looks like he's ready to play today. And sure enough, he knocked one over the right field wall.
So let's start there. Yaz, such a revelation, right, as a 29-year-old rookie, 28-year-old rookie, whatever he was a couple of years ago. And he's had a real nice run with the Giants over three seasons. But you know, last year he hit .225. Right, the OPS was by far his lowest of the 3 years. Is there anything to that? Is it incumbent upon him to continue adjusting to major league pitching, or are we still sort of establishing a baseline, even at age 31, for exactly who he is?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, really. He's been around long enough that we have an idea of the way he plays, and he goes all out defensively. Offensively, he does chase, and he'll chase that high fastball, and he was exploited last year on it. But if you give him a pitch down and in or a pitch that's over the plate, he doesn't miss it very often, and he'll knock it out of the park. So the way baseball is played today, Scott, you can hit .225. Now, you'd rather hit .240. That's kind of the league average pretty much. But if you hit .240 and you knock 25 out, you're okay. But I think he's got to adjust, because when you looked at the series with the Dodgers at the end of the year, Lamont Wade and Yastrzemski were zeros. And, you know, that's when pitching, you know, is pretty serious, and they have the scouting reports and the big spotlight is on you. And he really didn't have a good postseason. So you'd like to see him come out and know the strike zone and hope that they make some mistakes and he'll continue hitting home runs. As I say, when he gets his pitch, he doesn't miss it very often.
So let me ask you about some of the grizzled veterans then that remain with this ball club. Start with Evan Longoria, who we still have not seen, right? He's got the sore index finger on his right hand. The word from Giants camp is they still expect him to be ready to go by opening day, but this is not a guy who has avoided the injury bug over the last couple of years. So where are you with Longo, and how confident are you that he can give them 140 games this year?
Well, not 140. I'm not confident in that. He's been injury prone. If it's his heel, if it's a finger, whatever it is, something. He had the collision with Crawford last year and knocked him out, really, and really ruined his season. He was outstanding the first half of the season, just crushing the ball to right center field, and really was a force. So I'm a little concerned about it. But as Gabe Kapler said, look, you don't have to play nine innings down here to play nine innings up there. And Crawford was in there today for a couple of innings. Belt, we haven't seen him yet. Longoria, as you point out, we haven't seen him yet. Jock Peterson was in there today. So I think they're going slowly. And the other thing I thought about the other day, pitchers are well ahead of hitters right now. Pitchers have come into camp year after year after year in real shape. And there are a lot of pitchers who want to make the ball club. So they're going to throw 94, 95, 96. And the hitters have to take time to catch up to that. And you know, just take a few pitches, look at it, and get the game going for them. And we haven't really seen that on this ball club yet. I don't think they've hit yet since they've been down here. And I think the pitchers are just ahead of the Giant hitters right now.
The familiar voice you hear is that of Marty Lurie, host of Talkin' Baseball. Of course, Giants pregame host on the weekends during the regular season. And you can follow him on Twitter, @BaseballMarty. Marty, you mentioned Brandon Belt, so sort of a similar question in terms of Evan Longoria. 140 games seems to be a stretch, but what is the Giants' plan with regard to managing Belt? Because, again, the production is unmistakable, right? I mean, he hit, you know, first year he hit 20 home runs last year, and he belted 29. I mean, clearly you want him in the lineup every day, but can you keep him in the lineup every day and keep him healthy over the long haul?
Well, he's got to determine that. There's an old saying that Ken Maka used to say, and that is the players write the lineup. So if Belt is healthy and playing and out there, he's going to be in there. Believe me, they need his bat desperately. They need Belt and Crawford to come back and have career years again because you don't have Posey in the middle anymore. So Belt, I talked to him. He's in great shape. He's happy. He's ready to play. And he just has to stay healthy. Now, he's had a myriad of injuries, the knee, concussions, all sorts of stuff has happened to him. So I think the really important thing is to manage him. You've got Ruff. You've got Flores. You have Lamont Wade if you need him. So you don't have to push Belt, day game after night game kind of thing. You could kind of do a little bit of Posey with him. Where they don't push him as much. But he will dictate whether he's in the lineup. And if he stays injury-free, 130, maybe 130 games for him, I don't think that's unreasonable.
So, again, the obvious segue here is, as you mentioned him, is Brandon Crawford. And, look, he was phenomenal last year. All-star
MVP.
Season. I mean, he was great. He hit a couple of ticks below 300 for the year, 24 home runs. It's sort of a breakout offensive season at age 34. Now, I know there are a lot of reasons to look at this and say it was not a fluke. Are you comfortable saying that this is the new normal for Brandon Crawford?
No, I don't think he's going to, hit the way he did last year. I mean, just everything went right for him. However, he is a great athlete, and 34 for him, he hasn't slowed down much in the field. Oh, maybe a step here and there, but now he uses the whole field. And I think he was really the beneficiary of all the analytics and all the coaching. And he bought into it. And I think Crawford really understood what the Giants were trying to do. I would expect the power still to be there. I'm not sure if the average will be there. He's prone to striking out a little bit. But, heck, last year he was an MVP. And, he came in, I think, fifth in the league in MVP. So 34 is always the red flag. Same thing with Belt and with Ruff and a couple of the other players. You start talking about age and you wonder what's going to happen. But that's the beauty of baseball. 34 is not the end of the line for people. But to ask them to duplicate what they did last year is kind of asking for a lot for a player who's aging a little bit.
So I want to take a step back. Talked a lot about this last night on the show with regard to the Giants' offseason philosophy, right? A lot of people were under the impression that once we got to 2022, you got rid of the Cueto contract and Posey retires and you re-sign, Crawford, but obviously lesser contract, and with Belt, same thing. And so that there would be money to be spent. And yet, other than Carlos Rodon and to some extent Jock Peterson, the Giants didn't spend a ton this offseason. A lot of people still clamoring for one more big power right-handed bat, which they did not bring in. So my question for you is, what is your analysis of sort of the philosophy of right now sort of hanging in the middle of the pack in terms of major league payroll and where they go from here and where they might go over the course of the season?
Well, they rebuilt the starting pitching, the rotation, and it's very strong. I mean, Webb was terrific last year. You've got DeSclafani back. You've got Wood back. Alex Cobb is another one. If he stays healthy, and again, here we go again.
Yep.
If he stays healthy, he's been terrific. And then, you bring in someone like Rodon, who is just a power guy. I mean, against the White Sox the other day, you got to see it. But what do you want out of him? 150 innings? 30 starts? If you got that, it would be terrific. Their rotation is just, I think, strong. I think the bullpen is strong. And that's the way I see this team right now. If you pitch and you don't hit a lot, well, you still can win. If you hit a lot and you don't pitch, you're not going to win. So to answer your question, they rebuilt the starting rotation. And they spent money for DeSclafani, for Wood, for Cobb, and for Rodon. And they know that they had to have that. Offensively, you win 107 games, And you look at the players, and here's Estrada and Dubon, maybe, you know, no Solano. You've got some infield backup question marks, really, for, you know, they've never done it over the long haul. But it's tough to get rid of people who just won 107 games. So I think you got to let the season play out a little bit. Maybe there's a Jose Ramirez in their future. They've got a lot of players in the farm system. They really do. And when you make a trade today, it's not, you know, the first, third, and fifth of your prospects. It could be the third, 14th, and 23rd. And they can afford to give that up for a hitter. So I think they're going into it like this. I asked around the ballpark today. I asked a couple of people in the front office, do you see anything happening, any trades? And they said, no, I don't think so. So unless they're trying to, you know, just play it close to the vest, I think what you see now and what you saw last year offensively is what you will see when they open up against the Marlins.
All right, Marty, you are one of the preeminent baseball historians that I know. So let me ask you about the rule changes that have now come into play with the new collective bargaining agreement. I know you have opinions, and some of the stuff isn't necessarily a change. Universal DH is back. We're done with seven-inning doubleheaders. We're keeping the ghost runner in extra innings at least for one more season. Maybe we start there. Just your thoughts on some of these rule changes and non-changes that came out of the CBA.
Sure. The DH is fine. What we were seeing was the pitcher may hit once or twice during a game anyway, and then the pinch hitters start because the bullpen is in the game so early now. So I can deal with the DH. We won't see a lot of base stealing. We won't see a lot of bunting. We won't see a lot of number eight hitters being walked. We won't see a lot of pitchers with a, you know, a 102 slugging percentage coming up. We'll miss seeing Bumgarner and, you know, a few of the guys who really, you know, made it interesting. But I think it was time. Every league in the world except the National League and one of the Japanese Central Leagues has the DH. So I just think it was time. And look, it becomes an offensive game, and it does change it, and it's okay. It's okay. Look, the World Series now, everyone will be on the same playing field, not a home game DH. Everyone, you know, will use the DH. So I'm okay with that. The extra inning rule, I thought – it would be nice to start the runner in the 12th inning. You know, give a couple of innings of extra inning ball where you have to earn the run the old-fashioned way, where you have to get a guy on and maybe bunt him over, maybe hit and run, something like that. So I would say the 12th inning, but they did not do that. They don't want, with all the compact scheduling going on and all the pitchers that they're worried about because of the, you know, the short spring training. They want the game over in the 10th or 11th inning. They don't want to be sitting there in the 15th inning worrying about the pitching staff. The other thing is you can only option a guy and bring him back five times. So if you get into these long games, you know, right after the game, the two or three players get optioned out and they bring in two or three new ones. So it's not really fair to the players either. It changes the salary that they receive if they go to AAA. So I think the idea of shortening the game in extra innings is okay. I would have preferred to see it about the 12th inning as opposed to right away in the 10th inning.
I like that. I actually like that a lot, that 12th inning concept. And look, this is only for a year that they've committed to doing this.
Right.
So, you know, maybe somebody, you ought to bring that up next year. Maybe make your way out to the winter meetings and shake some heads. Yeah, the Lurie
rule.
I'm a big fan, man.
I'm okay with that. And they have the big bases.
Right. They have the big bases.
Year, you know, with, instead of 90 feet, it's 89 feet, 11 inches between the bases now. But, you know, it does change things a little bit. The sliding is different.
Oh, yeah.
If you go in head first, you're not going to break your finger anymore.
Yeah. No, I understand it, and I think I could get behind it, but boy, is it goofy.
It is, and also footwork.
Yeah.
Around, you know, yeah. You played ball, you know ball.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
The footwork around the bag is going to be a little different.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. But that's till next year. And the other thing is, and I'm going to talk about it over the weekend with Bill Lasky when we do the shows over the weekend. You know, the robo-ump is coming. I firmly believe that. And it's going to change catchers. You know, you're not going to worry about pitch framing anymore. Because either the ball is over the plate or it's not.
Right.
And the robo-ump will tell you that. So it may put more offense back in that position and not worry as much as pitch framing and one leg, you know, out and all that kind of stuff, which has really changed the position defensively.
That's a great point, too. Yeah. This is, look, we could talk about this stuff for hours. I love it. I can't get past the big goofy bases, and I'm thinking for every broken pinky you save, you might add two sprained ankles from guys trying to turn a double play and falling over the new big bases.
Yeah, can you imagine straddling the bag, you're trying to find it.
It changes everything. Yeah. All right. Well,
it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting – look, it's going to be a fabulous story.
Yeah.
They won 107 games. The Dodgers didn't go away. They've got an all-star team.
Yes.
Literally an all-star team on the field. But let's see what their pitching's all about. The Padres are going to be a good story. We're going to see them next week in one of the games, I think Tuesday or Wednesday. So the mosaic is blank, as I used to like to say. And the story is going to be a good one because this is a 107-win team. Can they do it again? Well, let's see.
Well, and like you, I cannot wait to find out.
Yeah,
Marty,
every day,
always a great time. Great time talking baseball.
Pleasure.
Appreciate it. And we'll chat with you soon, I'm sure.
Anytime, Scott. Always a pleasure.